So we'll go ahead and get started here in the next minute. Again, this is Wendy. I'm with WLS Success Matters. Sandy and I started WLS Success Matters 7 years ago. And so we have been offering these phone support groups twice a month for the last 7 years. And we're both bariatric patients. I'm heading into 10 years. Sandy, I think, is heading into year 14 or 15. There's so many years add up for her, I've forgotten. And we are both long-term successful weight loss surgery patients. And we're passionate and have been passionate not only about our own success, but about those that we get to share time with. So we're bariatric educators, we're bariatric coaches, we're patient professionals, we are members of the bariatric community, and we believe in you just like we have to believe in ourselves every day. So it's really exciting to have so many of you here with us this morning on a Saturday in December, because I know nobody has anything to do today, right? So really appreciate you taking care of yourself. This tells me that a lot of you know that you matter. It also tells me you might need a little motivation or inspiration or some encouragement, or maybe you just need to be heard and understood and accepted. And that's one of the things about being a weight loss surgery patient. You really can't do it alone. You need community. You need support. You need continuing education. You need people who have been there and done that and done it well, right? And that's what we love about being a part of the community, is because you motivate us as much as we hope that we motivate you, right? So to go ahead and get things started here, it's Saturday, and I want to ask a couple of questions before we get started. I would love to ask, and this is open to everybody, how has the time between Halloween to today, December 1st, so we've lived through Halloween, we've lived through all of November, which included Thanksgiving, and now we are here on the very first day of December. How has it been for you? How has your weight loss surgery life been? Anybody?
Well, this is Becky. Wendy, I got sick, which kind of helped in my wound. But I'm holding my own now. I'm back to eating regular food, and I'm holding my own, so I'm really happy.
Good. So, you know, you're not alone. A lot of people out there I've seen and heard have been sick sometime over that course of the last month, and nobody wants to be sick, so I'm so glad that you're feeling better and you're able to eat. It's just like getting punched in the gut one more time, if you will, right, when you get sick.
Right.
Yeah, nobody has time for it.
Yeah, literally as well as physically, it seems.
Mm-hmm. I know. So good. Thank you for sharing that. And she came out on the other side, and she's here, which is fantastic. Anybody else? I'd love to hear more.
Hi. This is Julie, and I'm out in Washington State.
Okay, great.
So what I am thinking is, you know, between Halloween and now, I'm reminded how triggered I am by tradition and how I see different, you know, foods that I associate with different holidays, and I feel compelled to have those foods simply because it's that particular holiday. And I'm very visually triggered, and so I'm just very aware of that. I'll walk into a store and I'll see, you know, the little coins, the little gold milk chocolate coins, and I'm like, oh my God, I've got to get some of those because it's almost Christmas, you know. And anyway, so I'm just very aware of how triggered I am by that stuff.
Ding, that's ding, it. Ding, ding, ding. Yay, Julie. Thank you for being so authentic and sharing. I can guarantee you are not alone when you share that. I would fall into that same category. I am a seasonal Reese's chocolate, peanut butter chocolate. Wrap it up, tell me it's a pumpkin. Wrap it up, tell me it's a Christmas tree. They don't have a turkey, but they should, right? and I'm all about it, right? So I love what you just shared, because that's a big big piece, the triggers, right? Whether it's visual, whether it's the smell, compelling, right? Because it's a holiday, there's a family tradition, something you've always done, right? It's very, very challenging to know what to do mentally in those situations, right? So I get it. I do. Great share. Thank you so much. Let me ask this question, if I may. Knowing that you're aware of those things and knowing it happens no matter where you go, right, how did you navigate it?
What did I took myself back off mute. I will be quite frank. I didn't navigate it very well. And I haven't been very disciplined on calling into these meetings. And I'm going to put myself back on mute and hover to discover. I want to hear what other people have to say because I'm looking for a little bit of motivation this morning.
Perfect. Well,
okay.
I'm glad to hear. Go ahead and hit the mute. And I will tell you that place of authenticity, right, to be aware of what the last month has been, and to be honest in the fact that you didn't navigate it as well as maybe you could have, and to reach out and be here because you're hoping to discover is exactly what this is all about. So, bravo. Thanks for being here, and thanks for being so honest.
Sure.
And that's pretty much something I want everyone to just kind of take stock of, right, is that nobody is perfect. And Sandy and I have been doing this long enough to know, even prior to doing this, that October, you know, basically Halloween through January 2nd, there's plenty of reasons associated with some type of memory. And when you have family and friends and fun, and you throw food and booze into the mix, it's a very slippery slope, regardless if you're a weight loss surgery patient or not, whether you are 10 years post-op or 2 weeks post-op, the challenges are real, right? So it's okay. And all we can do is try to do better, right? Try to do different and create strategies and ideas and get support and have that sense of community so you're not alone when you're faced in these situations. So, bravo. Thank you so much, Julie. Great to have you with us here. Anybody else want to share how Halloween to now has gone for them as a weight loss
patient? Hi, this is Natalie. This is my first time calling in.
Hi there. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having this call. For me, the challenge is a little bit different. Because it gets darker earlier, I'm in Washington, D.C., you know, it's just the cold and the dark. You know, I used to treat myself with food, and it's just that's one of the things that I guess is a trigger for me is how dark it gets so early, and you know, a little bit of the seasonal affective depression and not handling that by the way I used to do, which was food.
Good one. I think that is a real, real one, too. And it gets dark here. I'm in the Pacific Northwest, and at 4:30, 5 o'clock, it seems like it's midnight, right? And I can tell you, before I had weight loss surgery, I felt like, and I lived in Los Angeles, and it still got dark early, and it was warm-ish, you know, compared to the rest of the world, L.A. was warm at this time of year. And I didn't like to go outside my home. After I got home and it was dark, I felt like I was in for the night, right? Like, it's 5:30, but I'm not going anywhere. And one of the big things that I've been able to create for my life as a post-op weight loss surgery patient is that it's okay to go out after dark. I can go to the gym if I want to, even though it's dark at 6 o'clock, right? Because I'm not going to bed till 11, so what am I going to do for the next 5 hours? But it's something I had to train myself, and I had to be aware of it, so... Great share. I'm sure there are other people on the line, myself included, that totally get that totally relate to it's seasonal, it's darker earlier, it's cooler outside, I'm more of in a nesting mode, and I like to comfort myself when it's dark and it's cold with food, right? So great share. Excellent. Appreciate that. And that darkness is going to last for a while, too, right? It's going to last right past these holidays. So it's going to stick around. So that's a real one. I actually have a happy light that I put on my desk. And people in my work environment dislike it sometimes, but it's proactive for me. I want as much of that sun, UV, ray that I can get so that I don't fall into it's dark and it's gray and I'm not happy kind of thing. So if you don't have a happy light, it's a sunlight. I call it a happy light. Look at one. They're cheap, and you can get them at Bed Bath & Beyond and come right on your desk. I will open it up to one more before I move on. Anybody else want to share how their life has been weight loss surgery-wise from October, Halloween, until now?
This is Whitney. Hello?
Hi, Whitney.
Hi. I'm actually a pre-op patient. But I've noticed I started the process, like I had my first consult October 25th, and I've just been a little more conscious of what I'm putting in my body. And like the other day I had a meeting that I attended and one of my coworkers tried to force me to take cookies home, and I just had to I've had to learn to say no to some things and just say, no, I can't do it. I'm trying to lose weight. And, you know, people are a little, like, not insulted, but taken aback, but I have to do what's best for me, so.
Oh, I love it. So, Whitney, this is exciting. Mm-hmm. When's your surgery date?
I don't have a date yet, but the goal is January.
Okay, good, 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 good. And so as you've been riding this train, you're realizing some things that are probably never going to go away. And
right.
As I heard you sharing that share, The first part of it was really confident. I'm having surgery. I'm pre-op. I started this. I'm being more conscious. And then when you start sharing the second half, which is like the real mechanics of it all, like people have food and they want you to take it and they don't like it when you say no. And I say I can't because I'm trying to lose weight. I've got to take care of myself. My hope for you, and I know it's possible, that second half of that share, mm-hmm. A year from now will be as confident as the first half because you will have practiced it over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I would extend out to you to kind of chew on, a brain nugget, instead of saying I can't, right,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I'm choosing not to. I'm making the choice to skip that this year. Right?
Okay.
And really focus on what you can do. Oh, I appreciate that, but I've lost 5 pounds. I want to lose 5 more. It looks delicious. Give it to somebody else. I really am at a point in my life where I want to be healthy, and I'm really considerate of all the things I'm putting into my body because I know what I eat to turn into my health.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Get them engaged in the conversation of that way. And cans and cannots are a real interesting thing. If you live in the place of I can, if you live in the place of what I can do, it's a lot more powerful than living in the place of being limited with what you can't do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you may, you know, however you say it, it doesn't matter, but I certainly want you to chew on that mental piece, right, the cans and the cannots. But you're right. I mean, it can be very difficult to tell loved ones, a grandmother, a mother, a father, an aunt, a cousin, a coworker, a boss, no, I don't want your big box of chocolate on my desk today. I'm not doing that, right? That's not what I'm interested in. But it's a great way to get practice into the conversation because it's going to go on forever. After Thanksgiving and after Christmas, then it's going to be Valentine's Day, then it's going to be Mother's Day, then you know it's going to be Easter, then it's going to be Father's Day, then it's the 4th of July, and then it's Labor Day, and it's Sunday's graduation. And guess what? We'll be right back here again talking about how we did Thanksgiving in October. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. So with that said, another question I have is, and I heard some of the answers here already, but what did you learn about yourself and being a weight loss surgery patient? And if anybody have anything to add? A lot of that was already answered, but I certainly want to open it. What did you learn about yourself and being a weight loss surgery patient over the last month between Halloween and today? Any additional shares? Okay, not a problem. And then my last question before I jump into the topic, what are your weight loss surgery goals for December? December 1st, and we're going to ride this. We've got 31 days in this month. So it's a great day to kind of clear the cobwebs, look at the vision of the next 31 days, and determine what your personal goals are as a weight loss surgery patient for December. Anybody want to share?
This is Julie, and I'm going to take myself off mute and just do a full share here. My goal by the end of the month is to be wearing pants that aren't fully elastic all around, because I know that I'm wearing these pants because my other pants are starting to feel snug.
Bravo. Another good share. The stretchy pant war is real. I get it.
Yeah.
I know it. I'm an anti-Lulu, whatever it is, and I have been for years because I've watched too many people I know personally and professionally stop wearing their jeans, and all they wear is Lulu, and guess what? They've gained 30 pounds in the process, right? So I feel you, sister. My husband's a weight loss surgery patient, and we were just talking about the tightness of his jeans yesterday, and I was like, what are you going to do about that, you know, when your jeans are tight? It's time to change, right? So I appreciate that. I think that's a fantastic goal. And I won't jump into it here in this moment, but I will say, okay, now we've established the goal. And, man, what a great one. Right? 41 days to work on that. Daily action plan. What are you going to do to get there? Right? That's the next step in that thought process, Julie. We can talk about it in the last 30 minutes of the call. I'll be here till 9:30. And or it may take out while we're having this discussion. And I'm going to give you some tips I think that are going to help you get there. But that's the next step. Right? So, very good. Who else? What goals do you have for yourself as a weight loss surgery patient in December? Julie's is a good one. I'm putting that on my own personal list. Not wearing those stretchy pants. Who else?
Hi, this is Lisa Marie.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, my goal is to get back to actually food journaling and, well, more than food journaling, actually tracking and logging what the actual calories and proteins and stuff are, because I journal fine, but I don't really know where I am calorie-wise, fat-wise, all that, and the scale is going up instead of staying the same or going down, so I need to track that.
There you go. Bravo. So there is somebody who has had a habit. I'm going to guess. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa. She had a habit, which was making sure she tracked her nutrition, and not just I ate an apple, I ate a piece of chicken, but that chicken was 110 calories and 23 proteins for the serving that I had, right?
Correct.
And it worked for her, right? You know why I know it worked for her, everybody? Because when the scale's going up, she can go right back to what she knows works and that she's not necessarily doing, right? So there's a gap, and she's looking at what was the best practice I had when the scale wasn't going up. Oh, I know what it was. I knew how much protein I was eating each day, or how many calories, or how much fat. Her nutritional tracking. So she can say, I need to do that. So fantastic, right? Good. Great share. You're not alone on that one either. And what I would want to add to that is exactly what I said, and something just for you to think about. Calories matter, fat matters, all that matters. But all of us were given a protein goal from our surgeon, and that matters the most. Number one rule, doesn't matter what weight loss surgery you've had, eat protein first, correct?
Correct.
And we eat protein first for a bunch of reasons, but the biggest one is a little bit of protein, because that's all we can eat is a little bit, goes the distance. It kills hunger very quickly, and it takes your body a long time to break down protein foods. So therefore, you're satisfied for a good amount of time. So you can go on about life and not be trying to find your next thing to put in your mouth, right? So protein first. So if you're going to track anything, start with your protein and your calories and go on from there. And you'll find that exactly what Lisa is hoping for is that scale is going to start dropping in the right direction. So the same thing I mentioned to Julie, Lisa Marie's got a great goal, right? She's identified an opportunity, and she has a solution. The next step are the action plans. When do you start? How committed to it are you? What might stand in your way? And what's the solution for when something does challenge you or stands in your way? If you think through all of that now, and you then you won't be in a place like a deer in headlights of, oh, no, I'm being challenged and I don't know what to do, because you've already thought about it, right? So that's the next piece in that process for you, Lisa Marie. But very exciting. Good stuff. Excellent.
Awesome. What was the last thing you said after how committed are you, and then think of things that might stand in your
way? Yeah, what challenges might stand in your way? So today on December 1st, you're 100% positive, right? I'm going to go in there. I'm going to start tracking my nutrition. What might happen that would cause you to stop tracking? Right? What is that?
Got it.
Where is it? Is it the holiday Christmas party that you have on the 15th with your coworkers at the fancy bowling alley? Right? Are you going to be able to get the nutritional information for that food? Are you going to be able to track that food? Are you going to take your own food? You know, are you going to make a choice? If you're someone who drinks an alcoholic beverage and it's a holiday work party, are you going to drink water? Are you going to drink a glass of wine? Are you going to go for the holiday food drink that's 500 calories, right? Like, what are you going to do? Rather than get to that party and all of a sudden you don't know what to do, right? And you stop tracking everything because it's challenging. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. So if you can identify what the struggles are going to be and create an action plan about how you're going to bridge that gap, right, or get through that challenge, then when you're faced with the challenge, you have your toolkit, right? You have ways that you can navigate this. And if you need help, that's what Sandy and I do, right? These conversations are things that we have with our clients on a daily basis because, like I said, it's hard to do it alone. And you don't have to because we're here. So that's great. Anybody else want to share their weight loss goal for December? Well, one that I have not heard yet, but I'm just going to throw it out there at you all, is I do not want to gain weight in December. I'm not saying that I want to lose weight. I could, right? We had some people tell us that already. I could maintain my weight loss, you know, I could just maintain my weight where I'm at. But it's okay to say that. It's okay to say I just want to maintain my weight. My goal for the month of December is to, as far as being a weight loss surgery patient, is I don't want to end up on January 2nd, a month from now, weighing 10 pounds more than I do today. So I just want to maintain my weight. How about that? That's something you can actually do as a weight loss surgery patient. That's something that's actually quite acceptable. People think, oh, I'm a weight loss surgery patient, I need to be losing weight all the time. Well, at a certain point, you're not going to be able to lose weight anymore. You're going to be in maintenance, right? And or you might be in a plateau as well, but it's the holidays, so, you know, and you have trouble navigating all the emotions and the food and the seasonal affective disorder and all the things that come in, right? Or you have trouble saying no to the person who makes your favorite fudge and they bring you a tray of it. Or your mother-in-law sends you cookies, your husband's favorite cookies every year, and guess what? I think they're my favorite, not really his, and I end up eating them. Oh, no, what do I do, you know? So sometimes it's okay just to say, I'm going to maintain my current weight through the holidays. So I just wanted to put that out there if you haven't thought about that, because that is acceptable, right? Okay, so what I want to share with you today is the 10 small changes to your routine in December. 10 small changes to your routine in December. And these could last well beyond December, but these are some changes that you can incorporate now and see where they take you. Okay? So the first change is shop on a full stomach. Go to the grocery store on a full stomach. Research says that if we eat even a small snack before going to the store, we actually buy fewer unhealthy foods, right? So how many of, and this is a conversation that we've had many times at WLS Success Matters, and really if you've ever been on any diet or on Weight Watchers, you've probably heard that same statement, right? Which is shop on a full stomach. Don't go to the grocery store hungry, right? But now here we are in the chaos of the holiday season where we're literally out of time. There's just not enough hours in the day to get everything done. So we're going to be running into that grocery store, and or some of us on the phone may actually work at the grocery store, now that I see that phone number. Hello. And you may be surrounded by food all the time, right? So you're just used to picking up food when you leave work or when you get to work for your meal. And it's a slippery slope with everything and all the stress and the extra added pressure of the season to go to the grocery store hungry. So what do you guys think of that? Shopping on a full stomach will help you buy fewer unhealthy foods. Mm-hmm. Agree? Disagree? Thoughts?
150% agree.
There's my grocery store friend. Hello. She works in the grocery store. She knows. She sees the people who are starving, and they're in there, and they're spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on junk, right?
Every day. I just came for some salad, $100 of chips and crumb slider. I'm like, did you get it? No, I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Yeah. So shop on that full stomach, right? And even if that is a protein bar or a hard-boiled egg, or a turkey jerky or a salmon jerky or a protein, you know, a beef jerky or a cheese stick, find something. You know what I do? I was in the grocery store just a few days ago with my husband, and I was hungry, and I just went to the deli and have them slice me some low-sodium chicken breast. And he and I were eating our low-sodium chicken breast out of the bag like two toddlers as we were shopping around the grocery store. But you know what? I wasn't picking up a candy bar, and I wasn't eating junk, right? We were just eating our chicken. So you can even do that when you get to the grocery store if you realize you're hungry and you don't have any 911 foods with you. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a bad trick. It's kind of a hateful thing I do. Well, not really hateful, but when I really want that candy bar or those chips, I'll look at somebody's shopping cart that's really massively overweight and see what's in there. And that reminds me that, no, you don't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, that, you know what? It's not a judgment thing. It's a reminder thing, right? It's like, I know that pain. I've been there. My eyes tend to land on people who are literally hanging on to the cart. Like if the cart wasn't there, they wouldn't be able to walk through the grocery store. And unfortunately, they're massively obese as well. And I feel pain for them because I know there's a way out, right? But then I'm also reminded that I was only, you know, one more meal away from that. And so I real quickly get reminded of what I'm here to do, and it is not to buy the junk food. So that's a good share. Appreciate that. So shop on a full stomach. Put a picture of yourself at your before you had weight loss surgery on your cell phone. Make that your cover picture. So when you're walking through the grocery store or standing in line, pull out your phone, because that's what I do, right? And look at yourself. Put a reminder of who you used to be on your phone so you can see you, and that will help remind you why you're making the choices you're making today. right? Okay, so shop on a full stomach. That's number one. Number two, master a new recipe. And I'm going to say try our cookbook, WLS Success Matters. We have an amazing cookbook. It's Eat Your Way to Success and Learn How to Control Hunger. And you can get it on Amazon. Great reviews. I agree all about it. But the key to this is that you want to try protein and produce meals. And eating at home is linked to eating healthier and better, as well as saving money. And this is a really great time of year where many of us might be in a place where we're extending ourselves financially more than we would do on any other month because of the type of holiday that this is. And we could afford not only saving some money, but probably saving a few calories because we might be eating out more than we typically do because of all the different functions. And when I say eating out, it may mean you're not taking lunch to work today because it's a catered lunch at work. You're going to your in-laws for dinner this weekend, and you're not going to be making your typical meal at home, right? So making a new recipe, and this is a recipe, you know, make something that is protein and produce, and more than likely it'll be something that you'll go back to often, you know, over the course of time. But this is a great time of year to say, one day this week I'm going to make something different and new, and I'm going to master it, and it's going to be about protein and produce. Make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crock-pot time, Instapot time, air fryer time. There's so many things that you can do this time of year with protein and produce that really it's so simple. Casserole time, right? So pick a recipe, try it out, and have a new favorite go-to recipe to eat when you're at home. And it's healthy and will save you money, okay?
Yep.
Perfect. Here's another one. Number three, drink your coffee or your tea black. Drink your coffee or your tea black. Steer clear of all those seasonal foo-foo drinks loaded with calories and sugar at your local coffee shop. Now, I heard someone kind of cringe when I said that.
That was me, yeah, Rachel.
She was being authentic, and everybody else was on mute that said that. We just didn't hear
oh,
that,
sorry.
Right? No, no, no. It's fine. I'm kidding. I'm joking with you. But it's the thing. I don't drink coffee. I drink tea. But I go to a Starbucks every day, and it's out of control, the drink, the things that are there. And number one, how much they cost, and number two, how much sugar is actually in them. And number three, how if we just add a new syrup and add some more sprinkles on top and add whipped cream and make it a venti and put it in a red cup, everybody wants to try that new drink, right?
Uh-huh.
And they put it at limited time. It's only here for a certain period of time, and then it's going to be gone. So you got to get as many of them as you can, right? Because they're going to be gone soon. So how does that make you feel? Drink your coffee or tea black?
Well, this is Rachel here. I was the one that sort of went, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got it down now to, yeah, this is my first time calling in.
Well, welcome.
I've got it down to drinking, you know, no sugar, no toppings, no syrups, just to drinking it with skim milk. So giving up that last little bit, I think I'd find that hard.
Yeah, sure. You know, what's interesting, what I've found is when we find something to be hard, when we think, gee, making that decision would be hard, that's usually a decision we need to make.
Yeah, it's because I do drink a lot of coffee. That's true.
Right, and here's the thing. Take a look at the non-fat milk that you're putting in there and know that you're not measuring it, right? So do you really have an accurate calorie count on it? And if you think that you get 20 ounces and it's half water, you know, half coffee, half non-fat, so then there's at least 10 ounces of non-fat milk in there. And so you can calculate, you know, how many that's how many calories and how much protein's in that, and then think about the number of times a day you do that.
Yeah.
So if you're drinking three or four of those coffees in a day, that's probably easily going to be an additional 400 to 500 calories just from non-fat milk.
Yeah, it can really add up.
Yeah. So even though it's non-fat milk, if you're drinking multiples in a day, you might want to reduce it down to two or one with milk and the rest not, right? Yeah. But it sounds like you're on a very good path. It sounds like you've made decisions to improve the content of your favorite drink by eliminating all the other stuff. So be proud about that.
Thanks.
That's a big deal. But at the same time, if it scares you, if it worries you, then it usually that means I need to do it. And you can look at it as just a trial off basis. What if I tried it?
Yeah.
Right? What if? How would that be? Right? Good. Anybody else? What do you think about your coffee, your tea that you're drinking, doing it black?
Hey, it's Lisa Marie here again.
Yeah,
I do what you say. I measure it every time I do it. But I drink tea also. I don't drink coffee. But I add the sugar-free, like Torani, or and the sugar-free, I think it's Coffee Mate that makes a creamer that's sugar-free. But I do. Oddly enough, the tracking-wise, I track how many times I do that.
Well, good. Yeah.
So, I mean, if we use sugar-free things to do it, what do you feel about that?
That is up to you, right? I am not a nutritionist or a registered dietitian, so I really, you know, I don't have the education to tell you if sugar-free is something you should be doing or not. But if it's working for you, great. If you have, you can always contact your bariatric surgeon or your dietitian or your nutritionist at the that's associated with the bariatric team and ask them. What I can tell you is that I personally used to work in the coffee industry, and the whole syrup world and no sugar added syrup world just kind of makes me wonder what's really in all that. So I kind of stay away from those things personally, although I do use an artificial sweetener, but I have reduced. I used to use four Splenda. Now I use either none or one stevia. So I've made a lot of changes with how I spruce up my tea myself. But I will say this. It really depends on your own DNA. Sugar-free products, including a sugar substitute, right, for your tea or your coffee. For some, that's fine. I can do a packet of stevia and not have any additional ramifications from that. However, Sandy, my business partner, cannot. If she has artificial sweeteners, it is the same thing for her body as sugar. And so just even any type of artificial sweetener triggers her to want sugar. Right? So, and I've heard some doctors share that same information, that they advise you not to use sugar-free because it triggers you to want sugar. So that's, again, that's an individual, unique, just like your thumbprint, right? So you have to kind of decide that for yourself. Does the amount of sugar-free sweeteners that you're using or syrups, does that trigger you to want additional sugar? And if it's not, then you're in good shape. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
You bet. Anybody else want to talk about drinking your coffee or tea black, steering clear of those seasonal food drinks?
I drink coffee black anyway. I mean, I have since I was 17, but tea was my big one. And what you're saying about the artificial sweeteners, I've been trying to eliminate those. Because I do think they trigger me wanting more sweets.
Yeah, there you go.
And, you know, and I happen to personally know another bariatric person that she's into sugar-free baking, and it's like, you know, you're kidding yourself on that.
Yeah, right. Because sugar-free mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily mean that it's calorie-free or fat-free
right.
or any of that other stuff.
And I'm not – yeah, go ahead.
No, well, it's just like, you know, for me, if I'm going to eat it, I'd rather eat the real thing and eat
right.
less of it than feeling like I can eat a bunch of it. Even though it's sugar-free, it doesn't control your portions, right?
Right. And that's mine exactly. In fact, this person's son brought me – sugar-free candy, and I had to explain to him, if I'm going to eat candy, I want the real thing. I don't want some sugar-free thing, you know?
Yeah, trust me, I've seen it firsthand. Very active patients eating sugar-free candy, and because it was sugar-free, they decided they could eat as much of it as they wanted, and then they were on the toilet with liquid soup, if I can be blunt about it, because sugar-free can
right.
do that to your body, right? It comes
back
out on the other.
Yeah.
So good share. I appreciate it. Becky's kind of navigating that right now, and that's a good share. I appreciate it. Okay, so the next big thing that we can do is we can make substitutions, and I'm just going to give you one substitution. If you substitute sour cream with Greek yogurt, so it's a small swap, right? It's pretty much the same consistency. It has the same look and feel in a recipe. I can guarantee you most of your loved ones, if you do not tell them, they will never know that you swapped out the sour cream and used Greek yogurt, right? So it's a small swap. It does taste great. It's got better nutritional value than a sour cream, and it's going to save you calories. And probably you're going to get some additional protein in there, right? So mm-hmm. if you're making a dip or you're making anything that calls for sour cream, what if you exchanged it for 0% plain Greek yogurt? How does that make you feel?
Mm.
Anybody already doing that? No?
No.
Okay, well, I'm
going to
delete. Mm-hmm, go
ahead. I was going to say, I was afraid to do it full force. So I would do a teaspoon of sour cream and a teaspoon and a half or two of the yogurt
uh-huh.
and kind of mix it up so that it kind of faked my taste buds out.
Okay.
And I still do it half and half. Yeah, I really don't use sour cream very much anymore. But when I do, I mix it.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah, I mean, if you're making pies, if any of the things, the dips are the big ones, if you're making a veggie tray instead of using mayonnaise and sour cream, try Greek yogurt, right? I have been using Greek yogurt as a substitute for 10 years, almost before even I had weight loss surgery, and it worked. And my husband's picky, and he loves his dips. With the Greek yogurt, we actually bought a sour cream dip the other day because it was new in the grocery store, and it was jalapeno cheddar, and he likes jalapeno and cheddar. And right off the bat, he tasted it, and he said, "I like your dip better." I said, "Yeah, I don't think we'd ever buy this again. We just wanted to try it, right?" But he's totally like, "I don't like that sour cream dip. I like your Greek yogurt dip better."
Mm-hmm.
So that's the challenge I want everybody to take on. Substitute sour cream with Greek yogurt this month. It's a small swap. And if you want to balance it out by doing, more Greek yogurt but still use a little bit of sour cream, it's worth a try, right? At least you're trying to make the swap. So that's a good place to be, in the place of trying. So
mm-hmm.
substitute sour cream for Greek yogurt. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have any other questions or comments about that? No? Perfect. So the next one is carry a water bottle. Carry a water bottle. Now, here's my question. At some point today, I'm pretty sure all of you are going to be leaving your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or anytime this weekend, you're going to be leaving your house. What goes through your mind when you leave your house? As you're leaving, what do you have to do? What do you have to make sure you have? Anybody?
I always have water. I always have it with me. Always.
Okay.
What else is sugary, by the way?
Mine is always have additional snacks or some kind of protein because shopping always takes longer than I expect.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
So I'm going to share with you, I think I need my purse, I need my keys, I need to make sure I have some type of 911 food, and I need to just keep a protein bar. And I need to have my water. If I don't have those four things, I'm not leaving the house. Right?
Yeah, me too.
So that's what I want you guys to think about this month, is that you do not leave your house, or your office, or your job, or your in-laws, or your neighbor's house without water. Like, if you're leaving anywhere, you need to make sure that you have a water bottle of some sort with you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're going to get more energy. I mean, the benefits of water are pretty endless. 90%, I think it is, of our body is made up of water. And we lose, on average, 10 cups a day just living, right? So if you're walking around dehydrated, the first sign of dehydration is hunger. So you think you're hungry, but the reality is you're probably just thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have that water with you to keep that check. And it's so good for your skin. Water really does amazing things for your skin. So more energy and better skin and help me controlling what I put in my mouth are all, those three reasons alone are great enough to make sure that I have water with me everywhere I go during December. You guys agree?
Yeah.
Carry the water bottle. The next one, park further or farther from your destination. So I know I like to be like, can I get that front row Joe spot wherever I'm going? But this time of year, it's not always that easy. And so don't get frustrated. Don't get upset, right? Don't, you know, grind your teeth with the fact that you had to park in Timbuktu because there's so many people where you're going. That's okay because I want to park farther away. I need to get those extra steps. I love my body moving and feeling the crisp, cool air and maybe some sun, if you don't live in Washington, sun hitting me as I walk in that route of being farther away from where I need to go. But go ahead and make that choice to park farther from your destination. What do you guys think of that? Are you doing that currently? What do you think when you hear that?
I do that.
Good. We got one that does it. Who else?
Well, I this is Becky, and I normally have done that, but, you know, I had knee surgery this summer, and I got to get rid of that handicap sticker in my car, you know.
There you go.
Yeah, because I don't need that anymore, you know.
There you go. Becky, I'm going to put that on your list of things to do this month.
Okay.
I want to hear
that
about
that sounds
it.
Good. Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Right? So, like, you had to park closer, and you even had a legalized sign to say you could, right?
Yeah, and it's good for 3 years, which I don't need 3 years of that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already done 5Ks since the surgery. I don't need a handicap spot.
No, you don't. I know. When my mom, when my mother was dying, she had the handicap, and then she passed away, and it was still valid. And my dad had that, and I was like, Dad, it was probably... it may have been a year or two after her passing away that I went home, and he still had that in the car.
Right.
And I was like, Dad, I'm taking this out of the car. You don't need this.
Yeah.
Whether he was using it or not, it was time to get rid of it. You know what I'm saying? But it was hard to get rid of for a lot of reasons.
Well, I got a good space at Costco the other day. And with my handicap placard, and a couple who are older than me, I'm sure, pulled up, and they were concerned that I was trying to lift a case of water into my car.
Uh-huh.
And I felt a little embarrassed. I said, well, you know, my arms are still good, so I'm cool, but it's time to let it go.
Right. And, like, yeah, they have no idea what you do every day with your body, right?
Right.
You lift that water. So there you go, right? Becky's got a challenge is to go ahead and she can park farther away, and she's had a reason not to, but she's realizing that it's okay. She can do that. And she's going to get rid of the crutch, if you will. So that's a good one. Love that, Cher. So park farther from your destination. You'll be glad that you did. You'll feel a lot more energy when you walk into wherever you're heading. This is a big one, okay? It is the 1st of December. On December 31st, it will be New Year's Eve. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you hang out at home or if you go out of the country to a big party or you're going on a cruise or you're going out to a rave or you're going on a boat tour to watch the fireworks on New Year's Eve over the Sound here in Seattle or maybe in New York City, right? Wherever you're going to be. What are your plans for New Year's Eve? Right? Create that this weekend. And what are you wearing to that? And for those who wear the stretchy pants when they stay home and they watch TV with their family on typically any other night, what outfit are you wearing at home when you watch New Year's Eve this year that's not stretchy pants? See what I'm saying here?
No.
And once you've identified what you're wearing, try it on today. Put it on. Put it on. And wherever you're going to be for New Year's Eve, big, small event, doesn't matter, home alone, been there, done that, right? What am I going to wear? And I'm going to try it on today. How does it fit today? I might even take a picture of how it fits today. And I might look at that picture every time I'm in the grocery store line, when I'm getting ready to go to the party, when my husband is saying, let's order cupcakes at 10 o'clock at night via Uber Eats, whatever it is, right? That picture of me in that outfit that I tried on this weekend today is going to be a visual reminder of why I am shopping on a full stomach, mastering a new recipe, keeping the milk in my black tea, swapping out sour cream with Greek yogurt, making sure I carry my water bottle while I'm walking from parking from farther away is because I want the outfit that I try on today for New Year's Eve to fit me at least as good, if not better, on the 31st. What do you think of that idea?
Good deal.
Well, that's a excitement out of you on this one, guys. Come on.
Sounds like a plan.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah? You gonna do it?
Not to be as tight.
Right? There you go. So that's the thing. I mean, it's a big deal. If we wait until December 31st to get dressed for New Year's Eve with all the madness that is going to happen over this next 30 days, I guarantee you, there are going to be people saying, I wish, I woulda, shoulda, coulda. You follow me? So
yes.
Put the vision in your head. Make it a reality now. Do not wait until the 31st when you attempt to wear something and it doesn't fit or you don't like the way you feel and you sit down and you're sad and you're tired and you start crying because you feel defeated and you think, I should have did what we talked about when I called on the 1st to that corporate call. And I'm telling you guys, it happens. So that's why I'm being so transparent in asking you to do it. You will thank yourself that you've done it. Okay? I plan that New Year's Eve now. No matter what your plan is going to be, plan it. Pick out the outfit you want to wear. Do it today. Try it on. And if you were me, take a picture of yourself wearing it today. So at the end of the month, when you try it, when you get dressed for New Year's Eve, you can take a picture of yourself the night you're going to actually wear the outfit. Okay?
Cool.
Cool. Thank you. We've got a few more.
I,
oh,
go ahead. I mean, that it feels like such a challenge, but I think as you were just now explaining that, what popped into my head is, for me, I don't know what I don't know. So if I ignore whether it fits or not until December 30th, then, like you said, trying something on then can either be a victory or depression. So taking something now, even if it doesn't fit right now, at least mm-hmm. having that truth to work with.
Yes.
Is what I have avoided.
Yes.
So.
I know you have. And I have too. Right? But it's the truth. And you can't do anything about the situation if you don't honestly know the truth.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Fear. Face everything and recover. Fear. Face everything and recover. Right? You're here because you're proactive about you. You've made time out of your day about you. You can call me the old lady down the street that everybody hates because she's right. Right? I accept that title. And because I've been there, I've done it. I've been doing this for 7 years. We have 100 people that we work with 24/7, 365 days a year from around the world that are weight loss surgery patients. I have seen it all. I know. Right? So, yes, I'm so glad you spoke up. I'm so glad you shared that because you're right. If you wait, you're just waiting. But if you know, then you can take action because you know. Bravo. Yay. Okay. The next one. Plan, schedule, and book, and commit to your fitness routine for the month of December today. Right? Plan, schedule, book, and commit to your fitness routine for the full month today. Now, this is something that I do on a regular basis. Like, I'm going to book all of my fitness today for the whole month, right? And it works. It works very well for me. I don't miss workouts, ever. And I'm the same weight I was when I met my goal weight. And I wear clothes from 10 years ago. My original pair of skinny jeans, I wore them yesterday. They still fit 10 years later, right? So part of it is all these things we've talked about, but I know it's also about my fitness level and that I don't skip a workout. Just like I don't skip going to the dentist, I don't skip going to my hair salon, I don't skip getting my eyebrows waxed, I don't skip getting my nails done, I don't skip going to the dentist. I think I mentioned that, right? These are appointments that I keep, right?
Right.
So it's going to be crazy busy the rest of this month. It just is. And so if you wait to schedule you, then guess what? There's not going to be any time for you. So if you schedule time for you now, when your friend or your cousin or your aunt or your uncle or whoever calls you and invites you to go do something or tells you that the party is at this time on this day, then you already have your time mapped. Your time is already built in. But if you don't have a plan and they say, oh, can you be over here at 11 to help us make the tamales? Well, if you don't have something planned, sure, I'll be there at 11. If you do have something planned, well, I'm going to the gym that day at 9:30. So more than likely, I wouldn't be able to go over there until 1 o'clock. Is that okay? See what I'm saying here? Cricket. Somebody talk to me.
Okay, Wendy, this was that something. This is Becky again. This is something that came up in my mind this morning. I've had a health year, you know, as you know, it's been just a terrible year. I used to, every morning before I did anything, work out. And I haven't been doing that. And I need to do that again.
There you go. So this is good for you.
Yeah.
This is good because, for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard habit to create, to be consistent with your fitness. And it's an even harder habit to bring back together, to put back in place after you've had any type of health, surgery, illness, unexpected, whatever, right? You know, life throws you off your game sometimes. And so to get back on the horse again can sometimes be just as challenging as when you got started originally, right? It just does. I mean, yeah. I personally don't miss more than 2 days a row in fitness because I don't want to know what it's like after 3 days to get started again. Like, that's a scary situation for me. I typically don't miss more than one day at a time, right? Because
My issue has been I'm not as – my fitness isn't necessarily at the level it used to be because of the health things. And I've got to stop that. It doesn't matter. This today matters where I'm at.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I had a reconstructive surgery. My body was cut in half and put back together again 5 years ago. And I was a marathon runner, and I could run an 8-minute mile. And after that surgery and 6 weeks off of recovering, I could not run an 8-minute mile anymore. And I felt like I was defeated. I felt like I was starting at ground zero when I had been a runner for 5 years. And I had to get through that mentally, right? And it actually took me 2 years, almost 3 years, to feel like I could get back to my fitness level that I was at. I had a conversation with my running partner about that when it was going on because I couldn't believe that I couldn't do what I used to do, and I hated it, you know. But
Brian,
that's what happens. We have to restart. So thank you for sharing that. I'm telling you guys, get your fitness. I don't care if you've never worked out or you're just getting started with fitness, or you're training for your own marathon that takes place in February, right? I don't care where you're at, but I'm telling you, get appointments on the calendar for you and your fitness. Doesn't matter what time of day it is. Doesn't matter what you are going to be doing during that time. Doesn't even matter how much time you spend. I'm not going to tell you any of those. Those are all your choices, right? But put it on the calendar now, because I'm telling you, come December 31st, those choices are going to matter. And you were here today because you needed some type of support, some type of encouragement. And I'm telling you that if you place your own fitness calendar today in place, you will be much more successful at executing that fitness program than you would be if you didn't put it on the calendar. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
It does. I have a question.
Okay.
If you can kind of think back, because you said of how you were in a routine and then got out of the routine. I'm in that same boat. I've gotten out of the routine, but now, honestly, my calendar is so stinking full that I already get up at 5 o'clock to be at work by 8 to do the things in the morning that I want to do, and we're already planning and prepping at night before going to bed so that I don't have to get up at 4 o'clock. But how did you squeeze it all back in?
Because nothing else matters. Nothing is more important than me. And I can tell you, I've been getting up at 4 a.m., leaving my house at 4:45, driving 40 miles, 25 miles, 30 miles, whatever it is, to be during traffic, to get to the gym at 6 a.m. in Seattle. I live in Tacoma, so I can get my workout done at the gym and be done at the gym by 7, so then I can take a shower at the gym so I can be at work by 8. And it's twofold. One, it gets my fitness in, and two, it helps me beat traffic. So you do whatever you got to do. If my husband says, hey, let's do XYZ, well, I can't do it at that time because I'm going to the gym at 8, you know. So we can go, but it's going to have to be an hour and a half later than when you want to go. It's really about building boundaries with all things. family, friends, work. You know, I've told my boss, if I don't work out, I'm in a bad mood, just so you know. So I don't miss my workout, and that they take a top priority on my day. And I was the second employee in the office and the last one to leave every day, but I got my workout in before I got there, right? So it's really about what really matters. If the fitness mattered to you, you would make – what if I said if fitness mattered to you, you would make time for it? What would have to give?
Yeah. It does matter, but there's, like, nothing to give. I'm sure there is.
I'll stay on the line till 9:30. I'm a little bit over time with the support group right now. So be patient with me. Let me get back to you, and we can chat about that. But let me just finish up these last two pieces, because that's a good conversation, and I can coach you to seeing where you need to go with that, okay?
Cool.
Okay. So number 9, create a go-to party food. So whether you're going to the office holiday party or your team's having a crock-pot lunch or you're going to the neighbors or you're going to your in-laws or you're hosting the party, whatever it is, you just need, instead of like, oh, my God, what do I need? I need to take something. I don't know what to do. Help, right? Like, and then you go and you buy the cookie tray at the grocery store because that was easy. Wrong, right? So create a go-to party food. Shrimp. Costco and any other grocery store sells the shrimp cocktail tray, grab them, right? Buy them and make that your go-to party food. A veggie platter, you can buy the veggie platter and make your own Greek yogurt dip. Mm-hmm. Do that. A meat and cheese tray, you can make your own meat and cheese tray. You can buy those at Costco. You can buy those at Honey Baked Ham. You can get those at any grocery store deli, right? Just make a decision that those you're going to take the same thing no matter where you go, and it's going to be something that you can eat, number one, that's going to meet your calorie and protein world that you're trying to live in, and number two, you won't feel bad about eating it because you know what's in it and you brought it and it makes good sense, and everybody else is going to eat it too, and you don't have to think about it every time that you take something someplace. So create a go-to party food. I'm suggesting a shrimp cocktail tray, a veggie platter with your own Greek yogurt dip, or a meat and cheese platter. Make sense? Take the thinking out of it. Stick with the same thing. Buy it. Take it. Enjoy it. Feel good about it. Right? And then last but not least, catch up with an old friend. Catch up with an old friend. We just don't do that anymore, right? And relationships are truly key to your happiness and your health. So make time to make a phone call or make a visit, see and or talk to someone that you haven't had a chance to talk to as often or as much that you'd like. And let that good energy of that friendship or that relationship fill your soul. Just do it. Catch up with an old friend. Okay? So those were my 10 small changes to your routine in December. What do you think? What are you taking away from the call?
Make time for yourself.
Good. Good. What else?
These are actually doable.
Yes. Yay, they are. They're small changes. You can do these. I can do these. Keep that thought going on. I love it. What else?
Say routines are your friends.
Yay, routines are your friends. I love that one. Thank you for that, Becky. Fantastic. Okay, guys, so it is 9:12, and I do apologize. I should have wrapped up the hour worth of support group about 9:03 since we got it started at 8:03. I appreciate your patience. I thought these were really important, and I wanted to be able to get through all of them with you. So thank you. If you do need to go, if you're on a schedule, you got someplace else to be, job, friends, work, family, commitment, charity, whatever, feel free to go. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you. We will do our next support group on the third Thursday of the month, so that'll be the 20th of December, and that will be an evening support group. That'll start at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. So you can always check our website, WLSSuccessMatters.com, but it's the same dial-in number, just different times. So we list all of our next support group calls there. Feel free to check that out. Today, December 1st, we have a lot of specials that we'll be promoting. We're doing 50% off our weekly weigh-in groups, usually $109 for 3 months. Now you'll be able to get it all month for $54 or $55 to get you in with us starting in January for the first 3 months of the year. It's a bro deal, let me tell you, and you'd be a fool not to take advantage of it come January 1st for sure. So take a look at that. Our Back on Track program, we're offering 25% on that for our January start, $25 off, I should say, for our January start. And there's a couple of other things. So definitely follow us on Facebook. We're WLS Success Matters there. You can email us, WLSSuccessMatters@gmail.com. And all those places will be sharing about the specials for the month of December. So if you need to go, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you taking the time. And I hope that I made an impact in your day. And if you want to send me a picture of your outfit that you try on today that you plan to wear on December 31st, WLSSuccessMatters@gmail.com. Send me that email. I'd love to see that outfit today and then on the 31st, you know? So if you got to go, take care. See you next time. I will be here for an additional 15 minutes. Our calls do last 90 minutes. Usually the last 30 minutes of the call, we open it up so that we can discuss anything that you would like to discuss that was not a part of our standard support group call. Because I ran over a little bit late today, and we've got less than 30 minutes. We've got about 16 minutes together. So I'll open it up to you. It looks like there's still a lot of callers on the line. Is there anything
that you...
You bet. Thank you.
This is Whitney. I needed proof of attendance.
So, Whitney, you'll need to send us an email, WLSSuccessMatters@gmail.com. Let me know what the discussion was about today and the email address that you need the proof of attendance sent, and we'll get that sent out in the next 48 hours after receiving your email, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
All right,
thanks for being here.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
Hey,
so
it's Lisa Marie. You said to hang in about planning and scheduling and fitting back in meantime or what's important.
So why do you want to work out?
I feel better, and I feel that it's – well, that's the weird thing. When I was doing it in the morning, I feel like it gave me a head start to making wise choices all day long. When I did it in the evening, it was like, oh, okay, it lifted me back up to finish the tasks that I needed to do in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have totally filled up those times with different studies and things. My husband and I.
Okay. Can he do those things without you?
Several of them are things that we do as a couple.
Do you need to do those things? Like, I'm not hearing a clear answer on why you want to work out. Why does working out matter?
Huh. I feel better.
Okay. So does you feeling better matter? On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it to you feeling better?
Well, thanks. That's an ouch. It should be a 10, but it feels more like a 3.
Okay, so that's honest, right? So if it's a 3 versus a 10, now we'll back up for a second, right? Let's step away. We're not talking about you. We're just talking about your best friend, right? If it's a 3 versus a 10, if it's a 10, do you think that you would make an effort to work out because it's that important to you to feel good? You'd find a way?
Yes.
And then if it's a 3, are you really going to make that much effort to do it?
Not so much.
So that's kind of like baseline, right? So I think that what I would start with for you is, why do you really want to work out?
Okay.
You know, and how much does feeling good, what does that feeling good do for you? Start listing those things out. And you started to at the beginning of the conversation, right? Like if you work out in the morning, let's not put time frames on it, right? Let's make a list of the reasons why you choose to work out.
Okay.
And I know it's a rule that my surgeon gave me. That was what the number. That was why I worked out in the beginning, because my surgeon told me I had to if I wanted to be successful. Well, I wasn't gonna. I'm on the success train. I already spent 30 some odd years being unsuccessful with my weight loss, right? So if my surgeon told me I needed to do this to be successful, and I was a cash pay, I paid cash for my surgery. Heck yeah, I'm gonna do what he told me.
Yeah.
And that was the motivator for me from day one. And it still is. But now I'm just addicted to it, and I love it, and I wouldn't give it up for anything. And it's changed my life as much, if not more, than weight loss surgery. And the reasons why are, the list is a mile long, why I work out, right? But you have to really get to the root of why you want to work out, number one.
Okay.
So figure out why you want to work out. And why do those things matter, right? And really kind of question yourself as to if, you know, what time you're going to create for it. Like these things that we have to do, well, you know, sometimes you have to ask somebody else to pick up the load so you can carry for yourself.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to be able to do that today because that's the time I'm working out. Can you do that? Like, now let's really talk about what being in a couple means. I need this for me, and I need you to help me because this is really important to me. And the reality is, if I take care of me, you're going to benefit from it, our kids are going to benefit from it, my job's going to benefit from it, and everything else I do and touch is going to benefit from it. So I matter first. If I can't take care of me, I can't be there for you or anybody else. And I've had that conversation more than once. You won't have it one time, and that'll be it. You'll have it 10 years later. I'm still having that same conversation some days.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm hearing my husband's voice in the back of your head, or my head, your mouth, of that, you know, whatever it takes, I'm here, let's do it, da da da. But for some reason, I'm not feeling. It's definitely self-inflicted, but I'm not feeling worthy of being that important.
Why not?
I don't know. I've just realized that into my head.
Gotcha. Well, good. So this is powerful. So you know what? You're not alone in that. As a woman, and then add on being a mom, a wife, a girlfriend, a sister, a daughter, a friend, a business leader, business professional, number one team person, whatever, all the other things come into play, right? Number one volunteer, church, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. You and everybody else I know has a gazillion things that they're responsible for. And and they will give and they will do for everybody else and everything all the time.
Yeah.
And they're underserved. And they're the last person to take care of. It is one of the biggest challenges and most powerful changes that occur for women as weight loss surgery patients. Is they actually realize that they matter, and they learn how to make themselves a priority. And truly, if you don't learn that over time as a weight loss surgery patient, you won't be successful.
Yeah.
You just won't. Because nobody comes Nobody is going to put you first before you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We treat people how to treat us.
This is really good.
I can't do anything for me. I can't expect somebody to do things for me. I have to do it for me. Nobody's going to work out for me today. Nobody. And matter of fact, nobody cares if I work out today. Nobody. Just me. I care. And I have to do it for me. And nobody's going to feel guilty or sad or shortchanged or upset or frustrated about me not working out except for me. And here's the very best part. That energy, that swagger that I get, that I create after that workout, everybody I come into contact after that workout is going to benefit from it. How interesting is that? Because I took care of me, I can give to them.
Cool, thank you.
You bet. You bet. And I do one-on-one coaching, and we have group stuff. You can check out our website. We got about 6 minutes more. I'd be happy to continue working with you. I just can't. I want to take up this time with we have a lot of callers on the line. But I'd certainly be happy to help you out. 6 minutes left, a lot of callers on the line. What do we got? What do you want to talk about?
Hi, this is Julie. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Okay, I just really...
we lost you, Julie. Julie, we lost you.
Sorry, can you guys hear me okay?
Now I can hear you, but we lost you, so start over.
Okay, it said to join subconference, press star, I don't know. Anyway, I just really enjoyed what Whitney and you just talked about. I could really identify with it, and I am actually on my way to the Y.
Woo-hoo!
To work out. So this is, I did this twice last weekend, and I told myself I was going to go every day this week, and I didn't go once. And I can make time for this in my life. It's going to, I'm very out of shape, and that really contributes to my sense of well-being. And it's really easy for me to start my old eating habits when I'm looking in the mirror and seeing my stomach start to pooching out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
sure.
I enjoyed the conversation. I got a lot out of it.
Oh, good. Good, good. And so, Julie, here's something I want you to think about. When you set a goal, make it very specific. Make it measurable. Make it attainable. Make sure it's realistic and put a time stamp on it. And it sounds like you set that goal last week that you're going to work out every day this week. Well, guess what? That's not a realistic goal for you, sister. So that's a perfect world scenario. I am a fitness warrior, and I will work out every day this week. And then the week comes and goes, and I didn't get any of it done. Where do I go now, right? So what I would ask you to do is I would ask you to create a SMART goal that is realistic and it is attainable, right? You may want to and desire to go to the gym 5, 6, 7 days a week. That's a great long-term goal, right? But what is something that you can start with now that would be attainable and it would be realistic, and that you could do it for the entire month, because we're filling our fitness calendars today for the entire month, right? So maybe three times a week, right?
Yep.
So it's great when you can accomplish a goal and check off the box that I did it, because that builds confidence in you, and that's what we need. We need that base level foundation of confidence to be able to move forward in this journey and get all the goals we want to get. But we can't be at a place where we should start small and go big, because we're not going to get there. It'll just lead to failure.
Yeah.
Right? So let's start small and build small and get that done, and once we're successful in being small with our goals, then we add them up. We continue to add it up, right? So, and by the way, I don't know any weight loss surgery patient that I've ever met that was in good shape when they started fitness, right?
Yeah.
I weighed 245 pounds. I was not in good shape. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know from myself, when I, at my highest, I was close to 300, and I honestly think I was in better shape than I am now. And I think it's because I was, we moved to a rural part of the state, and I'm just, and then I telecommuted for 3 years, so I was sitting in my office way too much, and so I feel like I'm so out of shape that I haven't been out of shape before, you know.
Oh, well, that is a good place for a challenge.
Yeah.
Right? That's the thing. It's all mental, girlfriend. It's all mental. Surround yourself with a community of people who are living it, breathing it, doing it, living through the challenges, celebrating the victory. That's what we do at WLS Success Matters. I highly recommend you take a look at our website and think about joining one of our groups that starts in January. A number of people on this call that you've heard speak today have been with us for 4+ years. We have some people who have been with us for 7 years. And guess what? They're maintaining and or losing the weight that they need to lose. We live and breathe this every single day. And we'd love to have you with you and trying to do it on your own. And it's great that we have these phone calls, but joining into a phone call once or twice a month is nothing compared to having 24/7, 365 support.
Okay.
That's what we do.
Thanks.
You bet. And good luck and have a great workout. I would love to hear what your small goals will be for your fitness this week and for the rest of the month. That's why I want you to come and be a part of the group, or at least send me an email so I can get the benefit of the outcome of our discussion, right? If I don't hear from you again and I don't know, then I don't know, right? I want to know.
Okay.
I need to know these things. That's why I'm here.
All right.
Fantastic. So did that help you, Julie?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
You bet. All right, guys. Well, it's 9:30. And I got to go. My husband just popped his head in here and told me he was leaving. He's going to be gone for 6 days, so I got to stay on time right now. Thank you all for being here. Happy holidays, whatever holiday it is you're celebrating. And if you're not celebrating any holiday, happy life, right? And be well. I hope that you take on what we've talked about today. I'd love to hear from you about it, wherever that time and space allows us to. I've shared our website, I've shared our Facebook, I gave you our email. So just know that I'd be so thrilled to hear from you and know what you're doing with what we've talked today. And I will say goodbye. Take good care. Thanks for being here, okay?
All right.